This is Dan Russell's Sports Talk. Sports Talk, an in-depth review of today's sports action, plus a chance for you to voice your opinion. Now, here's your host, Dan Russell.
Good evening once again from downtown Vancouver. It is Sports Talk. It's not only a Friday night, it's our final night on our flagship station, CKNW. After tonight, the show will no longer be heard on this spot on the dial. If you stay with us on Twitter, you'll be able to find out all the news as to when and where this show will be continuing on with its next chapter. Tonight, we're presenting the beginning origins of this show and how it all came to be. And this was a show we produced at the 10-year mark. And it'll continue this hour. And one of the big things that happened with Sports Talk, one of the major turning points, was the arrival of Brian Burke. When he arrived as Pat Quinn's right-hand man in the mid-'80s, he was invited to come down on the show, as so many of the newcomers to the market were at that time, invited to come down. In those days, we had a limo that we literally would go pick up the guest with the limo service that we had, and we'd bring him down to the station. And I think Berkey was kind of impressed by that. And then the phone lines lit up like a Christmas tree. And I think near the end of the program, I said, it'd be great if you could do this, you know, from time to time. He says, I'll do one better. I'll come every week. And I thought, well, yeah, sure you will. And sure he did. He came every single week to Sports Talk. Wednesday nights became appointment radio. And remember, in those days, a lot of times it was, I don't want to say the radio wasn't flamboyant, but for a person in management to say the things that Brian did and in the way that he did, sometimes you see some of that now, but back then it was unheard of. And hearing this show was mandatory listening for our loyal audience in that area of the history of the program. So you're going to hear why coming up this hour as we continue our special look back at the origins of this program. BC Lions tonight winning by a score of 29-26 over Hamilton here in downtown Vancouver. That'll be the final sports result we give here on our flagship station. So let's take a break. The tweets are coming in strong, and we thank you for that. At Dan Russell ST, as in Sports Talk, at Dan Russell ST.
This is Dan Russell's Sports Talk, BC's most listened to sports talk show. Here again is Dan Russell.
Hi, this is Carl Valentine, the head coach of the Vancouver 86ers, and it's been great listening over the last 10 years. Dan, you've done a great job, and here's wishing you another tremendously successful 10 years ahead.
Gretzky going right in on goal. He scores! Wayne Gretzky!
He's the magic man of hockey. Watch him pass and shoot and score.
Hockey's greatest player appeared on Sports Talk on the eve of the 1988 playoffs. There was no reason to believe then that Wayne Gretzky was about to embark on his final journey with the Edmonton Oilers. April 4, 1988.
As long as the Edmonton Oilers want Wayne Gretzky, I will definitely stay in the city. It's a great city to raise a family, and it's a great community. And other than being down there, being in California a little bit in the summer times, we'll spend the rest of our time in Edmonton.
Soon after Wayne Gretzky guided the Oilers to their fourth Stanley Cup, hockey fans were forced to consider the impossible. August 7, 1988.
Rumor one, let's go back to last week. Carson and Robitaille for Gretzky, somebody else, and the $15 million going to the Oilers. Number two, the one I heard tonight before we went on the air, and we started with this at 10 o'clock, Gretzky and two medium-type hockey players.
No names?
Not at 10 o'clock, hang on. Not among their big names. I guessed McTavish, and I was told I was not far off. So Gretzky and two other Oilers for Carson, somebody else who I didn't know at that point, and $15 million. The story continues. More calls. CJOR, hello.
Hi, Dan.
Hi.
About this Gretzky trade, I think it would be really good for hockey. It would, you know, get hockey on the States and a network TV, probably. And it would establish some pretty good league parity.
August 9, 1988.
Before I begin, it's been an emotional 2 or 3 days for, possibly 2 or 3 weeks, but mainly in the last 2 or 3 days for Wayne, myself, and Glenn. And it's with mixed emotions, a heavy heart for our community and our hockey club, but I guess with delight and sincere best wishes for Wayne Gretzky, that I announce and I guess more important confirm that the Edmonton Oilers have agreed to trade Wayne Gretzky to Los Angeles.
What was the overall reaction of your callers tonight on CFRN?
You want me to sum up 5 hours in 15 words. Dan, the overwhelming reaction was, thanks to Wayne Gretzky for 10 wonderful years. The subplots were, of course, concerned with Peter Pocklington's suggestion that Wayne Gretzky had gone to him and asked to be traded. There are some doubters. The additional subplot, what role did Janet play in Wayne asking to be traded, if in fact he did? At what point did Glenn Sather get involved in the negotiations? And we've established that it was very late.
Entrepreneur Nelson Scalbania, August 12, 1988.
How close do you feel you were to making this thing fly in Vancouver?
More than that, I thought we had a deal. The deal is a deal.
But you think you had a deal?
Oh, for sure we had a deal.
You're listening to the 10th anniversary special of Sports Talk.
Have I a hope or half a chance to even ask if I could dance with you? You would you greet me or politely turn away? Would there suddenly be sunshine?
Babe Pratt, December 27, 1984.
The greatest umpire they ever had around these parts, his name was Ambie Moran.
Oh, yeah.
And he played with the Montreal Canadiens. And Howie Moran's, who do you think would be his greatest friend on the Montreal Canadiens but Howie Moran's? And I played with Howie for 17 games when I went up to the Rangers in 1936. And he asked me, he says, Babe, there's a great guy, he says, that will only play with us for a year or two with Montreal. He says, his name was Ambie Moran. When I came out here to the coast, I used to run into Ambie quite a bit. And I'd always say to him, what did you have against Howie? Well, he says, Babe, I was the only guy that took the blame when we went out to a party.
This is Sports Talk. Here again on the Satellite Radio Network is Dan Russell.
All right, it's 28 minutes past 10 o'clock. It is Dan Russell with Greg Douglas in studio here, our sports director from CKWX. And we would certainly like to thank Dr. Dave Harris from the Canuck organization for joining us right now. The story is not pleasant at this moment. The hockey world is praying for Babe Pratt. Dr. Dave Harris, what can you tell us at this moment about Babe's condition?
Well, I'm afraid I have bad news. I just talked to the Vancouver General Hospital, and he was pronounced dead on arrival at the hospital when he left the Coliseum, and we didn't think there was much hope for him, and they just informed us that he's passed away.
Boy, that's sad news, Doctor. I know they worked very hard on him here, and they couldn't get a pulse or anything before he left?
Well, we had actually 7 paramedics in the building at one time working their darnest to try and resuscitate him, but unfortunately we weren't successful.
Greg?
Dave, you just got that word?
Pardon me?
The word just came through now?
Yes, I just talked to the hospital just 30 seconds ago.
Is anybody talking to Florence?
Actually, she went to the hospital, and she's with Tracy, so they've just been informed as well.
So the babe has left us?
I'm afraid so.
You know, boy, I'll tell you, I've I've spent so much time with this man. I mean, he could hold court like nobody.
In some ways, Sports Talk has served as an audio sports history book. Many legendary personalities have shared their experiences. Anna Stukas and Jim Coleman, July 29, 1991.
Vancouver applied in 1951, and I was on the committee, and I said, well, where are they going to play? Well, they got a park that's got 6,900 seats. I said, that's all we need, another bloody city over those mountains for 6,900 seats. And I'd heard stories about the Gridleys. Forget about them. When they get a stadium, and that's the only reason that Vancouver ever got in when Empire Stadium was built. Otherwise, they're still sitting on this side of the mountain.
Hey, our friend Dave Wickham from Classy Sports Collectors on the line. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how you doing, Dad?
Good.
Great show.
You got thank you. You got an old program these guys be interested in.
Well, Jim was mentioning something about a Vancouver Grizzlies.
Yes, 1941. Actually, we had a pretty good team. You know, the Grizzlies in 41, and this Stuke isn't going to like this, but had a better record than the Lions had in 54. Because in 41, the Grizzlies played only an eight-game schedule in the Western League, and they won one of them.
The NBA Grizzlies were officially born in April 1994. However, Sports Talk listeners were tipped off much earlier. The previous November, Sports Talk took its show to New York to find out if the rumors were true. Expansion Committee Chairman Jerry Colangelo, November 2, 1993.
Okay, now Toronto this week, we assume, will get their official ratification. Where does Vancouver sit right now?
Well, Vancouver, I liken it to being a dark horse. But we weren't closing the door on any other opportunities, and Vancouver had expressed some interest. And I think they came up and surprised a lot of people in the NBA. I wasn't necessarily surprised. I'd been into Vancouver on a few occasions, thought a great deal of the marketplace and its potential and future growth. But I think people in the league were somewhat surprised and taken back by how strong an entry Vancouver has turned out to be.
The road to the NBA next took Sports Talk to frigid Minneapolis. And it was at these meetings that the team became reality. Arthur Griffiths, February 14, 1994.
The expansion committee did, in fact, bless our group as it is today. I wasn't sure exactly how it might have turned out. I had hoped how it would work out, and I think it's even better than I expected, because they basically said that you are where Toronto was from our committee's perspective 3 months ago.
I just wonder if you have any sense on how big this is going to be for Vancouver.
Let me tell you that there are many, many people here at the NBA meetings who tell me that having Vancouver in the NBA is great, because they've heard so much about the city and they've heard it's a beautiful place to go. The key difference is now they will go.
Hi, this is Stu Jackson from the Vancouver Grizzlies. Well, Dan, happy anniversary. I wasn't around for the first 10 years, but we'll be around for the next 10. So congratulations and best wishes.
Hi, this is Andy Mogov, formerly Penticton, currently the Dallas Stars. Congratulations, Dan, on 10 years of success. Who would have thought it would have lasted this long? Way to work.
One of the summertime traditions of Sports Talk is the popular Andy Moog Charity Golf Tournament in Penticton.
We've been going up to the Andy Moog Tournament for 6 years now, and every year we keep telling ourselves it'll never be as good as it was last year. And every year we seem to be wrong.
The Moog Tournament brings together stars from around the NHL. The season may be over, but the players are still taking shots. The one that scores big each year is Darryl Ray, former goaltender of the Hartford Whalers.
Now, he talked about Stan Lack. What about you? How have you been around the game so long? Who shoots the puck harder than anyone?
Well, I'll tell you, I come in from Parksville last year. I saw this young kid, Stan Lack, shoot the puck. I was only watching practice, but jumping G. Willikers, if he didn't break three or four panes of glass there this morning. I turned to my colleague beside me, I said, "My God, this kid can really shoot the puck. Not only can he shake, rattle, and roll, but he can shoot the thing a ton."
Yes, it typifies a cannon-eating drive.
So, I'll tell you, we went that evening. They were playing the San Jose Sharks. And I sat right beside Jimmy Sanlac's parents, and they told me when Jimmy was a kid, Jimmy used to be able to shoot the puck a ton. Him and the boys used to go down, and they told me that Jimmy could shoot the puck through a car wash, get this, without getting the damn puck wet.
Well, that's quite a skill.
I said to Mrs. Sandlack, I said, are you talking about the same little Jimmy Sandlack that plays for the Vancouver Canucks? She says, you're right, I am. I said, he could shoot right through a car wash without getting the thing wet? He could shoot that hard? She said, no. He couldn't hit the car wash.
Broadcaster Danny Galavan left us in 1992. His legend lives on with impressionist Dan Drossos, July 1, 1994.
But for this person to be joining us, it's a very rare sports talk achievement. But the late Danny Galavan is with us now. Hello, Danny. How are you?
Not too bad, Mr. Russell.
How are you enjoying the Okanagan?
Well, as always, I enjoy the Okanagan. I've purchased some property out here, I must say, in Cleveland. And last night, I have to say one thing. I just bought this house, and there was a loud music and parking going on, and I thought to myself, damn it all, it must be Peter Mihalovich. Well, I walked up there and went into the front door, and lo and behold, Glenn Anderson.
Glenn Anderson.
Two girls on each arm. I said, Glenn, look, share the wealth, would you?
Well, knowing Glenn, he would have.
He won't let you have both.
I said, pardon? Anyway,
I hope you're going straight to your hotel room tonight, McKeach, because them's fighting words.
Hockey Night in Canada, which you were such a fixture on, has Don Cherry. And, you know, Cherry was talking a lot about Pavel Bure, as you might well know, during the playoffs. Did you catch some of those headlines?
You know, I saw a very controversial Coach's Corner. And he had an article from a newspaper and something to do with the gay community. And the west end of Vancouver, prominent area. And they're quite enamored with Pavel. But from what I hear, they've just misinterpreted the headline. This was started the whole thing. And the headline was in the local newspaper that he'd laid out Shane Churla. I'm happy to say in the next series he responded quite adequately by giving the stick to Jay Wells.
Superstar Pavel Bure of the Vancouver Canucks is not known for being a colorful interview, but that changed on July 1, 1994.
Also coming to join us right now, I'm very pleased to welcome him. Danny, just step aside here for just a second. We heard he was in Penticton. He's different to interview sometimes because he's not a man of many, many words, but he sure can do his talking on the ice. Pavel Bure is here. Hello, Pavel. How are you?
Yeah, good. Not too bad, sure.
Well, nice to have you here. Pavel, how are you enjoying Penticton?
Yeah, it's good. Sure. That is nice.
I know you brought your new boat. Do you have it in the water right now?
Yeah, put it in tonight into the water, and it's good. Yeah, I like it.
Which of the lakes, Skaha or Okanagan?
I put it because Glenn Anderson said to put it in his lake. And, Skaha. And there's a creature in Okanagan Lake. It's bigger than Chinchorla. I'm scared. Ogopogo.
Ogopogo. So it's in Skaha Lake?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. You got a lot of dollars in that new contract of yours. You must be pretty, well, I was going to say rich, pretty pleased.
Yes, I'm very happy to have lots of money now because, you know, I'm going to Las Vegas sometime, and I give some to Gino, because he's a good friend of mine.
You and Gino are very good friends, right?
Yeah, sure, I'm a good friend with Gino. Yeah. Sure.
Do you like to be interviewed, by the way?
Yeah, sure, no, yeah. Okay, good, no,
good. Okay. Tell me about your line mates, Mr. Adams. You like playing with him, Trevor?
Yeah, he's good, you know. Of course, he's not bad. Good player, and Trevor, I like him, but I want him to shave the goatee. It's not good.
Yeah. Now tell me about Shane Churla. I mean, a lot of people are talking about Shane, of course.
Well, you know, I'm skating down ice, and I turn to left, and I don't see him, and I run into him. So.
You didn't see him?
No, like, you know, I'm looking for a puck because I want to score a goal.
That's your dream.
It's, to, you know, to win Stanley Cup, and then I'm looking, and he's laying on ice, and I...
Hi, it's Cliff Lang from the Vancouver Canucks, just congratulating Dan on 10 years of just a great work and a great show. Good for the fans and also good for the players to find out if you're doing the right things out there.
Daniel, my brother, 10 years on Sports Talk. Congratulations. This is Tiger Williams. I've enjoyed all 10 years. You've outlasted them all. Good luck for the next 10.
Vancouver Canucks general manager Pat Quinn on what Sports Talk means to him.
A lot of times when we're dealing in a market here where there's a competitive view of varying medias, whether it's print or electronic, about our operation, it's important to get some feedback out if we don't think that that's a fair assessment of our organization or if there's a critical issue that we feel that is important for the fans to know. So it is a good way for us to have access back to the fans because when you're dealing with straight media relations here, where they're going to put in what they want to in the newspapers, they're going to put on their broadcast what they want to in a true interview format like Dan has or like the fan shows have. You are not subject to having to see someone else put in print or out on the public what you've said. You have the ability to say it yourself.
Without question, the most popular segment in the history of Sports Talk was Brian Burke's weekly Canucks update. From June 3, 1987, until May 29, 1992, he informed, debated, and entertained BC hockey fans in a way never heard before. Burke talked about how it all started.
Well, the day that I was introduced to the media in Vancouver, that night, I believe it was that very night, that Dan asked me to come on the show. And I went on the show. I was staying out in Burnaby at a hotel, and my family was still back in Boston. And I went and did the show, and I was very impressed with Dan. And, he was a real good guy and obviously cared about the team very much. And after doing it that night and then another show, I guess the following week, we talked about making it a weekly feature. And, you know, Dan's recollection is that I suggested it, and my recollection is that he suggested it. But what started off as a professional relationship only turned very quickly into a very close personal relationship. I consider Dan to be one of my best friends, and I think he's a tremendous radio personality and a good friend of mine.
Looking back, what do you think was the impact of your appearances on the show?
Well, I think I've made Dan famous. There's no question that the success of his show is tied definitely to the Canuck segment. I have no doubt in my mind about that. Seriously, when I look back on the show, I think that Dan is a guy that there might be better voices in radio. There might be more polished people. There might be people that do things better, but I don't think there's anyone that speaks for the people like Dan does. People like Dan. The listeners like him. They trust him. They listen to him. And his love of hockey and his love of the Canucks and the NHL made it very easy for me to have that relationship with him for 5 years, even where it, you know, we had some real ugly shows. We had some shows where the club wasn't playing well, and the callers thumped me pretty good, and Dan thumped me pretty good, and Dan thumped the team pretty good, and I would storm out of the studio the minute the show was over. You know, the hell with this, grab my coat and storm out and drive home and not talk to Dan for 5 or 6 more days until we were arranging, you know, what we're going to talk about the next week. But I think it speaks highly of Dan that I really felt, no matter what bumps we hit in the road, that this was a quality guy with integrity and that cared very much about hockey. And I really enjoyed my time with Dan. I still enjoy going out with him periodically.
Now, you had a lot of memorable shows, but I know in talking to Dan and Scott, one of the most memorable is the immortal Doug Lidster show. Did that one sort of elevate the prominence of the of your segment to a whole new level?
Well, in retrospect, I don't know if it lifted that segment into some sort of prominence or not. Frankly, I think the segment was fairly prominent before then. It certainly drew a lot of attention to it. In retrospect, I'm really glad that that incident happened because it resulted in Doug Lidster signing a new contract. I mean, basically, that's what precipitated a new deal within a matter of a week. On the other hand, I still stand by what I said. It was from the heart. It reflects what I feel. I really felt at the time and still feel that Doug had made some comments that were inappropriate. But in retrospect, the one thing I regret about it is some people misinterpreted my criticism of Doug as being a criticism of him as a person or as an athlete, and there's a guy that didn't deserve that.
There's been a lot of misconceptions about the show and your part in it over the years, not only, I guess, from the public, but also in other mediums.
Well, I have found since I left Vancouver, being a general manager and now working for the league, that you have to be careful what you say. I did not have that same feeling or same limitation in Vancouver, and as the number two guy, intensely loyal to Pat Quinn, I viewed it as my job to deal with the fans. There was no other team in the NHL, and again, this whole show thing, even though it was Dan's suggestion and it worked out, this all required the blessing of Pat Quinn, who, having listened to a couple of shows, said, you know, this is a great idea. This is something that will benefit the hockey club long term. I mean, no other team in the NHL during that time period had the number two guy front and center answering questions, taking punches from the fans every week, 52 weeks a year. And we had some real tough years during that time. We had some years where, you know, we missed the playoffs, we played poorly, we did this, we did that. But every Wednesday night, the number two guy in the organization was up there answering questions.
You're listening to the 10th anniversary special of Sports Talk. Much more to come after these messages. You're listening to Sports Talk with Dan Russell. The phone number is 280-8255. 280-TALK. Here again is Dan Russell.
Our guest is Brian Burke. He's in studio taking phone calls. It's been a few weeks since we've had Brian here, and we've had so many people to phone up and ask questions. And we're going to keep Brian over after the midnight news. Now we got a couple long-distance calls here, so let's go over to the island. And Courtney, hello.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good. How are you?
I'm just great, thanks.
Victoria, hello.
Hi, Brian.
Yeah, how are you?
Oh, great. I'm Jason, the Through It All Canucks fan from Victoria.
Oh, okay. How are you, Jason?
Good.
But it doesn't make sense to me to respond, just like, you know.
I understand.
I mean, I saw, you know, Richard Burr, for instance, took a shot at me in the paper a couple weeks ago and said, well, the only guy in Vancouver who lied to him was Brian Burke. And I mean, I'm not going to come out here and, you know, start taking swings at Richard on the radio. It doesn't take any brains to do that.
There's talk on the street, it sounds so familiar. Great expectations, everybody's watching you.
Brian Burke is on the radio, he's on TV, he's everywhere, you know.
People you meet, they all seem. Treat you like you're something new. Johnny come lately, the new kid in town. Everybody loves you, so don't let them
really know if there is anyone that has, like you say, a high profile like that.
Sports Talk, go ahead with Brian Burke.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for coming on. I love it.
Well, thanks. It's fun for me.
Okay.
Most of the time.
And what do you think happened with Richard Bader's contract this summer?
Well, I mean, I don't know what happened this summer.
Well, he was put on a termination contract by Hartford, and he's going to be out of hockey at the end of the season.
Right, but he didn't provide the memories to Hartford in 1982 like he did in Vancouver, did he?
Well, we're not in the nostalgia business. We're in the business of winning hockey games, and we felt we had a young goaltender we had to play.
Right.
I don't think that was mishandled at all. I didn't then, and I don't know.
First of all, the first player I hear whining about travel is going to get fined, and if he whines again about it, he's going to get sent down.
And we expect Krutov to come back and have a big year. He had a bad year last year, but we think he can bounce back. As far as Nedved goes, as I say, I don't know where that's going to end up money-wise.
If you're such a genius, Dan, what was Troy Gamble's record when he was up?
His record was 91% saves.
What was his record?
2 wins, 3 losses.
2-3?
Yep.
And is this Moses going to take us out of into the promised land or what?
Well, I know one thing. Pat Quinn's never been a figurehead in any job he's held, and he's not going to be here. I marvel sometimes at the authority and autonomy he's given me, and I know I test his patience at times.
Doug Lidster will be traded.
Well, I mean, look at the paper last week. I mean, Doug Lidster's a great kid. But if I've ever been disappointed in a great kid, there's an article last week in the paper that discusses his options next year. Would he go to the States, the Olympic team? I mean, if I'm his teammate, we probably have a fight the next day in practice. Say, Doug, you worry about your future. As long as you're here, worry about us. There's talk on the street.
Okay, now speaking of Trevor Linden, he announced yesterday due to a... Sorry?
Were we speaking of Trevor Linden?
No, you were. You said Trevor Linden got hit in the back of the head.
Oh, we mentioned him. We weren't speaking of him.
Well, we were referring slightly to Trevor Linden, and I'd like to refer a little bit more if we could for the next couple of minutes. Could we?
It's your show, Dan.
Thank you. I'm glad you pointed that out. Now, I want to know from you what's going on with the negotiations.
Oh, it's classified.
What does that mean?
It means I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you.
I think it's outrageous the way that this city has picked on this kid.
Can I call a timeout there?
Yes.
How can 7 goals for a sixth-year player be adequate?
Well, what? How many games has Sadlak played?
About 49.
Okay, he's played four, so he's been injured for a few games?
7 out of 50. What's the percentage?
For a guy who plays on the third line or the fourth line.
Six-year player. Why is he on the third or fourth line?
Well, that's because I said to you I think he's a competent third-line player. I didn't say he's a first-line right wing, and I'm not saying that he justified being picked as high as he did. If you were running our hockey club, then you should trade Jimmy Sadlak, but fortunately you're not.
All right. All right, why does Pavel Bure get so many great chances and can't finish them off?
Well, he has finished some off. It's not like
six
he has to score a goal, yes. So that requires that he finish some of the chances off, Dan. For him to score a goal, he has to convert a chance into a goal.
Out of 600 chances, I would think he should score 6.
That, well,
in fact, I think you once scored 6 pro goals.
If you count practice, yes.
It's funny, Brian and I have the same NHL totals. 0 goals, 0 assists, 0 points.
I mean, that's brutal. I mean, like, you have had this just stellar athletic career, Dad, really.
Yes,
it's
a good point.
Your athletic career is the day when you viewed the most channels in 12 minutes.
Yes, not bad.
I tell you right now, Peter Nedved, Trevor had too much class to say this. I don't. Peter Nedved has not played particularly well the last 20 games. I laugh. I look at these newspaper articles where they say, well, this guy gets a B. Well, at the end of the year this year, I think I'm going to give all the newspaper reporters in Vancouver a grade and say, here's what I think of your writing.
It doesn't matter what Tony Gallagher, like I said before on the air, Tony Gallagher's idea of an ideal assignment would be to cover a famine in Ethiopia because he would love the suffering. I don't really respect Tony as a person or as a reporter. I don't like Tony. I won't talk to Tony. Tony Gallagher is a guy that if he found a wallet with 200 bucks in it, would be mad that there wasn't 300 bucks in it. That's his viewpoint. So how much slack will I cut Tony Gallagher? Zero. I have no respect for him.
L is for the way you look at me. O is for the only one I see. V is very, very extraordinary. E is even more than anyone that you adore can love, is all that I can give to you. Love is more than just a game for two. Two in love.
And the answer is to Tony Gallagher, I say to Brian Butters, hire the guy. Hire him if you want to. And I would say that if that's the case, then if I thought Kent Gilchrist was so gutless that you would cover his spine with a piece of dental floss, I'll try a piece of thread for Brian Butters. I mean, it'd probably do the job.
We had one jerk in the media call and wake up Paul Reinhardt in a hotel in Buffalo 2 weeks ago. And that misquote was gutless, in my opinion, on Gilchrist's part. We're not going to sit back and take that from a guy like this.
If you expect me to take criticism from Tony Gallagher seriously, though, the guy we call the vampire bat.
More wines come out of Gilchrist than they get out of the Okanagan.
L is for the way you look at me. O is for the only one I see. V is very, very extraordinary. E is even more than anyone that you adore can
love. Their slant is obvious, and I really question now whether, as authors attempting to use a dispassionate intellectual approach to a problem or a business or a set of facts, I question their bias. I don't think they're impartial.
Two in love can make it. Take my heart and please don't break it. Love was made for me and you. Love was made for me and you.
I just think it's kind of, I think he's kind of pitiful. It's, I don't even get as mad as much as I just wonder how things could go south in a person's mind like that.
In 45 seconds, I hate to do this, but what could worst case scenario be to the hockey fan listening tonight?
I'll give it to you in 5 seconds. You could see no hockey this year, and you could see a delayed start to the season next year. I will add this, Dan. I want to see this union solidarity when they're missing paychecks. I want to see how many players stay out. It's easy to do now when there's no economic duress. Let's see how many guys stay out when they're missing paychecks.
Brian, thanks for staying up late, and thanks for joining us on Sports Talk.
Thanks for having me on, Dan.
Sports Talk, go ahead.
Hi, Dan.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good.
Hi, Brian. How's it going?
Just great. I'm having a great time tonight. The Griffiths family has one of the worst leases in the National Hockey League at the PNE. You don't have to take my word for that. If you can read, you should read up on this and you'll find that out.
Yeah, go talk to your mother.
I mean, do you expect me to respond? I usually respond to intelligent questions.
I don't know where you get your statistics from. As far as I'm concerned, McCammon and the whole lot should be fired. Except McCammon, all you guys should be out on your ear.
You know, like I like to respond to intelligent questions and comments, so I'm at a loss here. So don't ever.
Okay.
And like the moron who just called, don't ever talk about money as far as us not being willing to spend it. That's not been a problem.
Brian, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Dan.
Where are you?
I'm at the Vance Creek Hotel at the Silver Star Resort outside of Vernon.
Are you having fun?
Yeah, I got my kids out skiing for a couple of days. I feel like a dad again.
Do you actually ski?
Yeah, I'm awesome.
You're awesome?
If I look back on the show, I think what I would say is this. I don't think many teams provide that access. I don't think many markets have that access. I think it was tremendous for our fans. I think it was great for the hockey team. And I look back on it finally. Now, my style was combative, and I viewed a big part of my job was that when we got trashed in the media, where something was that was written that was unfair or inaccurate, that I had to respond. And that led to some ugly nights, some nights where, you know, you rip somebody or call them some names. I don't regret one night of that or one word of it. I think it was very important for the team at that time, and I would do it exactly the same again.
This is Pat Quinn of the Vancouver Canucks, and I want to take this opportunity to say congratulations to Dan. I've been around the nation and listened to a lot of shows, and we are fortunate to have in Vancouver a high-quality show, and it's because of Dan. Mind you, Brian Burke made it, so I guess Dan, Brian should be out here sharing the cake with you.
You're listening to Sports Talk's 10th anniversary special, and we have more to come after these messages.
I feel like I want John Ashbridge here right about now to say, last hour to play in this show. 1 hour left. Not in the history of the show, but one more hour left on our longtime home of sports talk, CKNW. Pausing for news on the hour. When we come back, we'll have more of our special, The Early Roots, which is apropos tonight because as we leave tonight, we're beginning a new chapter. So we're playing back the beginning chapter to give our loyal listeners a sense as to what this show was when it started, and new listeners maybe for the first time hearing some of this material. And the narrator is my late great friend Al Jordan, who probably taught me more about the broadcast business than anyone I'd ever met. We pause for news on the hour. One more hour left on our flagship station, CKNW.